Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
I'm trying to harmonize here.
I know.
I'm gonna take the lower octave. I don't know.
Octave?
Excuse me,
that is my favorite Spider-Man villain. This is Octave.
Dr. Octavius.
Welcome back. This is Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. As you can tell, we're really having fun today just because we're pretty excited. For those people who might not know, or if you weren't listening to the last episode, we're really nearing the end of our season. You know, the year is up and we are going to be going on hiatus. So we decided to do something fun, something that we can enjoy and something you guys can enjoy. And so today we're going to be talking about Christmas, since it is the holiday.
Yep.
And because our dear president said that there's a war on it, we decided to celebrate.
You know? We're choosing a side.
And the side is we like presents.
And not like opening gifts.
And not the cheap ones, that because you need to have 8 of them, you know.
Oh,
ooh, dang.
Zing.
I went religious there. My bad. I went political and religious at the same time. Okay, so this is not... Did we introduce ourselves? This is Dennis, I guess.
This is Lewis.
I forget if I already introduced ourselves.
No.
Ebenezer Scrooge over there, man.
For a second, I thought it was my podcast, you know.
Yeah, you guys are here.
What are you doing here? This Lewis is the ghost of Christmas past.
Yes.
Harold is the ghost of Christmas present, and I am
the guy with the chains who starts the whole thing.
I'm Ebenezer. No, I'm what is his name? Bob Marley.
Bob Marley.
Yes, Marley. Marley was his name.
Just Bob Marley.
Okay, so as you can tell, we're really going off the rails. But before we begin,
add a little bit of the eggnog.
Exactly. Okay. And what's best with eggnog? Potpourri. See what I did there?
Wow. Well done, sir. Well done.
So let's take us away.
All right, so for potpourri this time around, one of the more anticipated...
Potpourri?
Potpourri is, what do you call it? One of the more anticipated live-action interpretations of the Disney movies coming out next year. It is for Mulan. So the trailer just dropped a little bit ago. All three of us have had the chance. I think it's gone around... So we have had a chance to take a look at this quick 2-minute trailer. What do you guys think?
I'm in the mode of trying to separate the original movie from this movie, because I think, and I could be completely wrong. Okay, but if you were just to take. And if I were to fanboy this whole thing and say, oh, well, this is what the original Mulan was like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and compare this, I wouldn't be liking it. But when I first saw the trailer, I already kind of put myself in that situation or in that mindset of this is going to be different. And I think it was... we were talking about the remakes, and one of the things that we kind of talked about is that that they've been trying to just stick to the original, and
right,
that
yeah.
one of the biggest difficulties is that by sticking to the original, too close, then it becomes, well, why are you retelling it? And so I think that's what I really liked about this, is that you get hints from the original one. You get, you know, they do the whole thing. Ah, he said the thing,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, I'll make a man out of, you know, out of you. Like, oh, I know that one, you know. And the you see like a flying dragon or something,
yeah, or some kind of bird.
Uh-huh.
It's like a phoenix.
Yeah, so I was like, so I was trying to figure if that was the bad guy or if that was Mushu, you know. So I'm like,
so are they gonna have a Mushu in this?
Yeah, so that's the thing. I'm phoenix. Okay. I'm not confused. I'm trying to figure out. what's going to happen. But right now, I'm optimistic because of the fact that I think that maybe, just maybe, this is the turning point for the Disney, and I know I'm expecting way too much, but this might be the turning point for the Disney remake where they realize, you know, we don't necessarily need to go shot by shot because people, Lion King in particular, people kind of panned it and compared it way too much. So maybe here it is. Although it seems like a travel documentary for China. You know, like, ooh, here's
the tourism.
Here's a great shot of China. Enjoy. You know. Aside from that, I quite enjoyed it.
You guys know my hatred for the Disney remakes. And it's pretty well known from everybody.
Yeah, you're like 0 for 4, right?
Cinderella was okay. Cinderella and Jungle Book, okay. It's the
wait, the one with the Asian, the Montalban as the
prince. Pablo Montalban. Well, that too.
The Lemmings version with Randy. Wow.
It's impossible. That's not on Disney Plus.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Because you got a Filipino and a African American chicken. But I hated the last three remakes, and they happen to be three of my favorite original animated movies of all time. So when they do The Little Mermaid, and I hate that one, then all four of my favorite Disney movies will be hated remakes. But when I first saw the teaser, I was like, okay, this is interesting in the fact that they have, like Dennis said, little hints of the original cartoon, but it just seems like a completely different movie. And that's what I like about it right now, is I don't mind if they do little musical numbers, but I don't want them to make this a Disney movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want them to make it a battle movie, a war movie, like it's supposed to be. It does seem on the more realistic side, and like I was just discussing with Lewis, I think that the Phoenix is Mushu. I don't think it's probably going to be. It might not be Mushu. The same name. Yeah. It might be. You never know.
Lomane.
I kind of thought that was the bad guy, though. The one.
Yeah, so that's interesting. But yeah.
Oh, because for me, it's like when the dad was talking to Mulan, he's like, you know, every time we have this thing here, the Phoenix is on the side. And that's kind of what I think is a representation of the Phoenix in Asian culture, is a bird with like a flamingo kind of, with more tentacles kind of deal. So it's very anime. You know what I mean?
What anime are you watching, man?
Tentacle anime. You know what I'm saying, man? But in everything else, like the part that really, you know, started getting me all pumped for this was that orchestral version of
Reflection. Yeah, dude.
And it was just like, you know? So
interesting choice, but
like,
yeah,
right after that, I was like watching a bunch of Christina Aguilera sing's Reflection version, because that's her version. It's not Leia's version, but they probably will play that somewhere in there. I don't mind it in the background or whatnot. Just maybe they will have Mulan sing it. You never know. But from looking at the cast, my favorite Kung Fu stars are apparently in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jet Li playing the Emperor, like we explained to Lou. Donnie Yen playing Donnie Yen, I don't know. And then Jason Scott Lee playing a bad guy.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's interesting choices.
It's weird that they would have the guy who played Bruce Lee being in a movie that probably Bruce Lee, if he was still alive, would be in it. But it's I like the casting so far. I do like that it is a departure from the animated.
Yeah, I dig it, like just like what you guys are saying. I think you're right. It's time that they diverge from the animated series and kind of make their own. Speaking of making it their own, I do like that they added a bit of a fantasy element, because it's been a few months since I've seen the animated version, but so they're introducing a witch character to be like an antagonist, I guess, to double team with Jason Scott Lee. And then, not to mention, I like the cinematography so far. It's very much like those, you know, Hidden Dragon, or, you know, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon kind of aesthetic, with a hero with the slow motion and the fabric flying around. So I'm very interested and looking forward to seeing more in the future. This is not like in our last podcast talking about how I tried to avoid as many trailers of Star Wars for this one, or for Mulan. I'd love to see more. I want to see more character pictures. I actually, I was asking the guys because they went over the list of who's in it. And when they mentioned Jet Li, it was like, which one is he? And yeah, I would love to see like up close pictures of, you know, or posters of these characters and see how they look on, you know, on a bigger screen. But so hopefully, yeah, it'll be a good turnaround for the Disney live action shows. I think so far, you know, I think Aladdin is the only one that's been like a really big
hit. I think they've all been financially successful.
Yeah, it has been.
Like, okay. Obviously, Aladdin made $1 billion, and I think I'm pretty sure Lion King made a lot of money.
Okay.
But in terms of creativity, there's like, you know, both of those movies, as well as Beauty and the Beast, they don't, you know, go far from the source material. Like, okay, literally. Like if you wanted to, you could play it side by side and yeah, almost sync up. And that's kind of where, you know, my biggest gripe has always been with these movies is like, why even bother making a live action remake if you're just going to do shot for shot?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And, you know, I'm sure Disney is already counting all that, you know, sweet money coming out of China. Because yeah, they're obviously they're kind of catering to that audience.
And, yeah, you know, I mean that's one way you're going to beat Endgame
and Avatar.
And Avatar is, let's do one that's aimed directly at the
to Chinese the literal people. Billions of them over there.
Unless Avatar was set in China,
dude.
Avatar 2.
James Cameron's like counting his money too.
well, seems interesting enough. That's good. It's going to be a really short potpourri today because
I got one real quick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go just for because it. I like to, and it's I think it's a fun transition. But I saw Frozen 2.
Okay.
Without spoiling it, Harold.
Without spoiling it.
How did you like it?
I liked it better than the first one.
Whoa! 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 Really?
Yeah, because the. It's. I could have sworn we just had a discussion in our last episode about me liking Empire better than Star Wars. Yes. And it's kind of the same way in that the first one.
Oh, God. Is it building to Frozen 3?
I don't know. We don't know.
No. That's the thing.
Are you asking?
Is there a shot where you know, Elsa is missing and, you know, and Anna's right there and you have Kristoff. Like kind of his arm around Elsa, and you have Olaf kind of the side, and it's like a spaceship floating away.
How did you said you didn't see it. But it's just Josh Gad singing it. So it's like, like I like, you know what, I love Dennis's approach towards this, by the way, because maybe by the time this airs, he will see the movie.
Hopefully he will.
But he's dedicated enough to the movie that he doesn't want to listen to the soundtrack, because titles of the songs and lyrics in the songs will ruin the story for him. Or if not ruin, but like, not outright ruin, but like...
Death of Elsa!
Yeah. I mean, that's the second to last theme. But... In terms of, you know how, like, remember last year we reviewed Wreck-It Ralph 2?
Yeah.
And we said that we didn't like Wreck-It Ralph 2, at least compared to the original Wreck-It Ralph. Or, you know, outright didn't like Wreck-It Ralph 2 at all. Whereas in Frozen 2, it doesn't try, like, you know how we literally just talked about, like, going too far from the source material. It's like this one doesn't stray far from the original movie. So, yeah, you kind of do have to, you don't really need to see the original to see where the rest of this is going, but then there are some great in-story digs at or in-story insights from the original movie that they brought back into this one. The songs are... there's never going to be another Let It Go. You know what I mean? Like, Let It Go...
Thank God. Sorry.
But, you know, because Let It Go was a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, yeah.
That ruined
yeah.
karaoke
yeah.
for...
You know, whether or not you like that song...
That song was everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
This movie does not have that song, but it does have songs where you'll find yourself catching, or like, humming the tunes and whatnot. And then I told Dennis, and like, was spoiled for me. Not spoiled, but there was one particular song that when he sees it, or when he hears it...
Am I going to go, Harold?
No, you're going to be like, damn, he understands.
He knows me.
I know Dennis pretty well. My cousin knows me pretty well, and he was like, as soon as the movie was over, he texted me, he's like, so what did you think of that part? And I'm like, dude, it's pretty awesome. So it's like when I texted you at the end of Infinity War. I'm like, so how'd you like that ending? And it's like, I'm kind of going to As soon as you watch Frozen 2, I'll let you know how it goes. But it's a great continuation of in the Disney princess mold. You know how they tried to do a different story for that and then for Moana, where, you know, the princesses are more proactive and not so much damsels in distress, started in probably in Brave. But it continues that storyline. Like you said, you love the original Frozen because it was such an empowering movie for your daughter. She's seen it already, I'm pretty sure. When she saw it, there's moments that really, you know, had pride swelling up in her about being a little princess and, you know, eventually becoming a queen. So I think you guys will enjoy it. I think Dennis will enjoy it. I think, Lou, you probably like it because you're not like a Disney princess kind of dude. Anna Sadis is we're Disney princess dudes. So, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, I do have a hot take. Like, if it wasn't for Let It Go, I think Tangled was a much better movie than Frozen.
Tangled is a much better
movie. Okay, good. Okay, I thought it was just me because I think Frozen was just like...
Frozen is really good.
Frozen is really good.
But Tangled... I think, and this is the sad part. I watched Tangled after Frozen.
Okay.
And just because... even though everybody, there was not that much excitement. Well, there was, but it wasn't that hyped up compared to Frozen.
Yeah.
And then after I watched Tangled, I was like, dude, this is great.
And a better song than Let It Go. Like, At Last I See the Light.
At Last I See the Light.
Is a better song than Let It Go.
Especially since it's a duet.
It's a duet, yes.
anytime there's a duet.
If it's a Disney duet.
Although, you know, kind of talk about Frozen. About 2 days, 2 days from now, when we're recording, not when people are listening to this, I'm actually going to be able to watch Frozen on Pantages, and I'm really, really excited about it. But did you guys hear though the controversy about the musical?
No.
They actually kind of changed some of the lyrics because one of the most memorable, aside from the actual like Let It Go, one of the most recognized one is the very beginning where you hear the duck 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 duck.
Yes,
you want to build a snowman.
Yes,
and they've actually changed it.
Oh, how so? What was the...
It now goes, Elsa, can you hear me? Yes! Barbra Streisand!
And a Deadpool 2 reference in the same time.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
So, we'll use
that as a new thing. Surprise Streisand.
Surprise Sand.
Okay, thank you.
I think that's all we're limited to is like Papa, can you hear me? And her being in Fockers.
Well, there's it's called People. I'm just trying to figure out. I love that song. So okay, never mind.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay, so let's move on to the next portion. It is Christmas. Okay, so we kind of have two things that we want to talk about. First and foremost is Santa Clauses.
Yep.
You know, a lot of different Santa Clauses. Let's do, and so that we don't need to go all. Maybe one or two of your favorite Santas, and maybe a Santa you didn't necessarily like, so that we can kind of save that in future episodes, you know, just in case we slurred around next year. Okay. So let's start off. I'll go. My first one is, I think it's a 1970s TV show. It's one of those like animated, like claymation type
thing. Okay, yeah. Stop motion things.
Yeah, so I think it's the either Santa Claus coming to town or it's the one where Kris Kringle becomes. Santa Claus. That's my favorite one. And funnily enough, I only watched it last year. I've seen it, and I saw it in the Philippines.
Yeah.
It kept on showing in the Philippines. And for some reason, maybe it's because I just didn't want to see it. Like, I thought it was stupid or something like that. Because I remember watching Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer, and that kind of traumatized me a little bit, you know? And so I never really watched it. But then last year, somebody showed me that. I was like, dude, this is... this is great. This is what Solo could not do, where, you know, where you knew what was happening. You knew he was going to be the fat guy in the suit, but the journey of him being the orphan and in all of a sudden becoming Santa Claus, it was like, whoa, where did that come from? You know, like, it was surprising. So for me, that's one of my favorite versions of Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's like the stop motion cinematic universe, because, like, there was like a Kris Kringle or a Jack Frost movie, mm-hmm. and then the Santa Claus, Rudolph and then
and in the Philippines, that was the only thing that kept on showing.
They love those holiday movies. Okay, so for me, I'm gonna go with a little bit of a lowball, I'm actually gonna throw two of them together just because I've never actually seen the movies, but the premise is so ridiculous. So one is Hulk Hogan as Santa Claus in the movie called Santa. Seen it? Okay, have you seen it?
Oh. Yes.
And the other one,
of course.
And the other one is Harold. WCW champion Bill Goldberg in Santa's sleigh. I hate it.
Why does Harold have seen both of these movies? Also, before you go into it, real quick,
go ahead.
You know one of the people that Santa or Bill Goldberg kills in Santa's sleigh, right?
No,
Chris Kattan.
I mean, somebody had to.
I mean,
Mango?
I wish he was playing Mango or Porky Romano when he did it, but like.
Whoa. Porky Romano is a saint.
What was his name in. Never mind. Corky, yes. Those two I'm going to put together just because I've only seen them on clips on YouTube. It's that time of year when, like, these obscure Santa Claus versions come out. And, like, it came to mind because we have a friend, a mutual friend, whose son forced them to see. I can't remember now, but. John Cena has a movie in theaters right now where he's playing a fireman, and it seems like one of those movies where, like, dumb Lewis back then would have probably forced my parents, like, Hulk Hogan's in a movie, can we watch this? So this looks like one of those, like, sad grabs for money and attention for Hulk Hogan and for Bill Goldberg, but, you know, I guess it's just people love flipping the trope. Like, instead of Jolly with a belly full of jelly, it's like these muscle bound 6'6" guys with no hair. So
do you know what the premise for Santa with Muscles is?
No, please tell me.
I can't remember his initial thing. I think he's a millionaire or a billionaire.
Okay.
But he's Hulk Hogan. And then he has amnesia and wakes up thinking that he's Santa Claus.
Okay.
Right. But with muscles.
They did the thing.
So, you know, henceforth the name of the movie.
And I'm sorry, is there any explanation why Bill Goldberg is a murderer Santa?
He can't do anything else? I mean...
Spear,
yeah,
jackhammer. That's it.
Ho, ho, ho.
And ironically, Bill Goldberg, Jewish?
Oh, there it is.
That's why he's so angry.
There it is. He can't enjoy the festivities.
Per episode, you get the
crack
up Lewis.
I got that one.
One day I'm going to do a Barbara Streisand joke that he's going to laugh at.
Sort of fall backwards and die.
Instead of him just kind of like shaking going, no.
So you're saying the Lewis is James Earl Jones at the end of Best of the Best.
No.
My first one.
Tommy's in it. Your coach is gonna kill him.
Ouch. That's right.
He's gonna kill him.
We're best of the best.
No.
Holiday. You know what? I'm gonna go off. I'm gonna follow up with Lewis on this one. One of my favorite.
Girl jokes?
No. But our wrestler playing Santa Claus.
How many of these are there?
You don't know one of my favorite ones?
Which one?
That would be the giant Paul White playing the giant Santa Claus in Jingle All the Way.
Oh my gosh, was that
him?
That, you know another guy that plays?
Why couldn't I have seen that?
Hold on. Like, look at his face. It's exactly.
Okay, hold on.
Continue. Yeah, you must see the story now. And the best part is the giant is 6'10, 6'9, whatever.
He's the son of Andre the Giant. He's 7 feet. I'm scared.
But Arnold Schwarzenegger is like 6'3", 6'4", and he's huge. And he does a, what's it called? A giant swing with Arnold holding on to a giant candy cane. And he makes Arnold look like...
Look, the beard and mustache hid everything.
But he's,
it worked. Kind of like the Clark Kent glasses.
Yeah.
scent.
The scent to think is a dude that is
a giant Paul White.
It's like, oh, that beard, you got me, bro. That's just a giant Santa Claus, right? It's not any man that we know.
This year, Harold's gonna put on a beard. Santa?
Don't I already have a beard?
Anyway. Oh my god, it is him.
I told you, man. Are you doubting me?
No, also,
that movie's still completely underrated. And also, I just saw a list on YouTube that made me crack up. That movie will not work today because you could just order toys online.
That's true. That's the sad truth. You don't have to fight Sinbad.
Yeah. Or you don't gotta, like, talk crap to Phil Hartman. And barely fight off the giant. Yeah. So, also, that movie came out the peak of the giant's popularity, and I didn't know his name was the giant. I mean, Paul White, or Big Show, or whatever you want to call him now. But, like,
what is his name so in the credits?
In the movie, it just says Giant Santa Claus. So, you know, accurate. They didn't even try, man.
No, dude.
It wasn't like Saint Nick the Giant, you know, something like really cheesy. But yeah,
pretty nice. Okay. I like it. Since you guys are talking about wrestlers, I can't think of other wrestling affiliated Santas. So I'm going to go do a quick like 180 here and go a completely different direction. I'm going to go with a comedian that decided to become Santa and is actually, you know how. In the early the 1900s, 1800s, the Kris Kringle was actually really just some guy. But then, thanks to Coca-Cola, mm-hmm. Coca-Cola kind of created this concept of what Santa Claus is supposed to look like.
Right.
So now, in our heads, Santa Claus is supposed to be that really fat, jolly guy, mm-hmm. you know, always smiling and everything. And my favorite version of Santa Claus, and to this day, I still like watching it because I think he made a great Santa Claus, was Tim Allen in Santa Claus with AUSC in the end. It's still one of my favorite movies. All three actually hold up for me. To the first one where it's the Santa Claus, to the second one where it's the Mrs. Claus or something yep. like that, and then the third
so
one,
clever.
And then the third one where he loses his Santa Claus and he has to regain it back again. It first and foremost. Like whoever did the fat suit on Tim Allen as Santa Claus was amazing. You know, like it reminded me of and again another movie that even though it came after the Santa Claus, it always there's the other movie that reminds me of this is Evan Almighty. In Evan Allman, what is his name?
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell becomes Moses, and there's those scenes where Steve Carell is trying to get rid of becoming like Santa Claus, or be Santa Claus Moses, you know. And then his beard keeps on growing, and then he decides to like shave it off, and it pops up. And I remember watching that, and I was like, they did the Santa Claus thing. And which made Evan Almighty even more better. But the other thing, though, is that the reason why I liked it is that they didn't. They kept the idea of Santa Claus, who Santa Claus is, but kind of like with Hook, and I'm going like different movies over here. But kind of like with Hook, where you're like, oh, this is Peter Pan that you grew up with. This is the Peter Pan that you know now, and there's a reason why he's this old. Well, the same thing. You have Santa Claus, and the reason why he's Santa Claus is that the old Santa Claus died.
Yeah.
You know, spoiler alert.
Murdered him.
But then eventually he becomes, even though he doesn't want, he becomes the Santa Claus that each and every single one of us loves. And to this day, I know that Coca-Cola has created a Santa Claus. For me, Tim Allen as Santa Claus is my headcanon. That's who Santa Claus is now.
Also, if you guys didn't know, when I first met Dennis a long, long time ago, his favorite TV show was Home Improvement.
Home Improvement was classic.
So
he was first to buy a ticket. So
yeah, like
Santa Claus.
When that movie came out, I was like, Dennis is going to watch this, isn't he?
No, I get you on the fat suit. They look really good. Like, I thought it was like one of those Christian Bale, like he actually added, like he ate his way into that suit. But yeah, it looked great. Besides the fact that, yeah, there had to be murder in order for the next Santa to be
I mean, technically ordained. It was an accident.
That's true. You're right. You're right.
So it was a death.
Yeah, yeah. Not a murder. Or a kill. Just a nice death.
But the one thing I would like, one thing that I, even to this day, kind of disturbs me though, is the head elf there. His name was Barnabas or something like that.
Yes, yes.
It's something like really old,
yeah, old timey, yeah.
Old timey name. I think that's his name. But like how nonchalant he was. Yeah, he's like, did he die? All right, cool. All right, cool. Now it's your suit. You're Santa Claus.
Oh, you're the new guy. Come on, follow me. He's like, how often does this happen? Is this like the third guy this week, or what are we looking at?
My other favorite part of that whole thing is the first time he goes to the North Pole, and he meets Judy, the female elf that gives him hot chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And there's for some reason it's just things there where Judy goes, you know, you're too young for me, something like that. And it was always always got a creepy vibe because Judy's like 11 or 12.
Yeah.
And
makes you think.
she's pretending to be like this old fashioned thing. I'm like, oh, okay. It's kind of weird. And my other favorite part, I know it's not Santa, it's not really about Santa, but the elves that save Santa. And then there's a line, he goes, tinsel. It's not just for decorating. I don't know.
What do you mean?
He uses a tinsel to cut open the gate. And I told you, I love that. I love that movie. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna, now that it's on Disney Plus, by the way, all three is right there, I'm gonna be watching it.
Oh, wow. Okay, for me, one of my favorite Santas, I guess, is gonna have to be Ed Asner in Will Ferrell's version of Elf. Like, how many versions of Elf has there been? But yeah, so, I mean, the movie is obviously,
sure, a musical, right?
Has there been?
I don't know.
Okay. So, you know, obviously one of the modern classics of Christmas classics, Elf, is, you know, one of those laugh riots where Will Ferrell just does his Will Ferrell thing. But Ed Asner, I thought, was a very serviceable, or at least a great little Santa Claus. I mean, he's not the tallest guy. You put him up next to, you know, 6'6 Will Ferrell. You know, he played off the fatherly figure that I think, like, the Coca-Cola company was trying to get Santa Claus to look like. And, you know, for the guy's got, like, I'm looking at his IMDb, but he's got a great list of just voiceover work. So he's got that great gravely, like, it sounds like he's smoked a couple packs before coming to the studio, but, like, it's yet very soothing and very, yeah, like, fatherly. So I liked them a lot in that one. I mean, they could have cast anybody in that Santa role because it's literally just a bit part. But, you know, it played off well. I think him and Will Ferrell had some great chemistry. So it was, yeah, one of my better favorite Santa Clauses in movies.
Mine is kind of similar to that role. He's playing the role of Santa Claus, actually. They're all similar. but it's kind of a mixture of the Santa Clauses that you guys kind of brought up, and that the movie is called Fred Claus, starring...
I still haven't seen that. I haven't seen it.
That movie's depressing, bro.
Oh, jeez,
like,
okay.
Like, it's... so Vince Vaughn is Fred Claus.
Yeah.
Santa's
eldest son or something like that. Or brother. Oh, okay.
And then the thing is, their mother chose Santa over Fred to be the Santa Claus.
Okay.
So there's always been like some kind of family dispute. Luckily for Fred, he is engaged, or he's dating Rachel Weisz. So,
hey, you know, when with pretty
can't, yeah, can't lose on that one. But then she leaves him because, you know, he's Vince Vaughn. And his whole
every
deal,
Vince Vaughn movie.
Yeah, his whole deal in the movie is trying to tell Santa that not all kids are bad. Because, you know, there's people on the naughty list, and he's like, no, they're not. And then it's just funny because Paul Giamatti is Paul Giamatti. So it's like he's not positive. He's not like a happy dude at all. Uh-huh. Like, you know, there was that one running joke like last year or 2 years ago where if you need someone to play an evil music manager in your movies, you hire Paul Giamatti. Like, they're like, oh yeah, Straight Outta Compton, you know. Yeah. You know, what are you doing? You know, yeah. Kind of thing. So like, Paul Giamatti's just like,
I'm Ed Eisner.
Yeah. Sorry. But he's just irritated the whole time. He's never like a happy Santa. Uh-huh. And then his elves are like his number one elf is freaking Ludacris, or not number one, but it's pretty close.
Dude, I gotta see this now.
It's Ludacris, John Michael Higgins, and Elizabeth Banks. John Michael Higgins and Elizabeth Banks are the commentators for Pitch Perfect.
Yes.
So they are both in this, and like they're in love with each other. But you have them trying to be the conduits for good, but you still have Paul Giamatti literally going into family therapy with Fred Claus. It's just a random, like, you've never seen a Santa Claus that's like borderline, well, besides Goldberg, obviously, but like borderline kind of not on the good side. And then it's like at the end, yeah, he does realize the terrible thing is that the villain of the whole movie is Kevin Spacey. So it's kind of it's a little unwatchable nowadays.
Yeah, like,
but it plays like
age well.
But it plays and it's still pretty. And I enjoy the whole movie and Paul Giamatti just being Paul Giamatti as Santa Claus. I mean, that sells the movie already for me.
Nice, dude.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know for a fact we have a couple more Santas that we can think about, but unfortunately we kind of have to move on to our next topic. And the next topic is still going along the lines of Christmas, you know, now that we've talked about Santa Claus. You know, Santa Claus is one of the songs, one of the characters that we sing about. You know, whether Santa Claus is coming to town or Santa Claus is coming to town. I can't think of another
song. I remember that thing for that one episode of South Park.
Yeah.
Where it's like, up on the rooftop.
And Jesus turns out that has a lot
Jesus
more
has songs. A million Christmas songs.
At a certain point, Santa Claus is singing,
her name is real and Jesus.
Today we kind of want to talk about our favorite Christmas songs. Now, you know, of course, there's only a limited amount of Christmas songs.
Yeah.
Although there are a lot of people that try to create new ones, it's really difficult to actually create a new one. And if you are able to, and I think Harold's going to be mentioning at least one that everybody knows, is because, and it's not one of the original ones, or I know there's no original one. But, you know, we kind of want to talk about some of our favorite Christmas songs. So, who wants to start off with? And again, unfortunately, we can't go off. You know, it is already late, and Lewis wants to go to sleep already, you know, because he's been making masks and everything.
Have I been? Okay, yes. All right, so for me, one of my favorite Christmas songs, weirdly enough, not a lot about Christmas itself. It's actually a weird breakup song, but it's Last Christmas by Wham. So, Wham. So, you know, kid of the 80s, like you guys are. Definitely one of those, like, it's on the coast playlist, or you know, when it comes to December, it's always playing. Everybody knows those first few lines.
This year,
yeah, give you my heart. It's like, oh, that's deep. But then you realize, oh, it's a breakup song on Christmas, kind of dark. But you know, you feel for.
But the funny part is, you sing along to it.
Yes,
oh, you totally
exactly. You can't help but sing along to it.
You don't really think about it.
Yeah, it's like, you know,
save me from tea.
It's like, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? So like, is Last Christmas a Christmas song? It's like, I don't know. It's just, it's wonderful for this time of year with some hot cocoa and a breakup song. So there you go. So one of my favorite 80s classics. And
that's what we think of.
Yes. What do you think of
before
Christmas?
We move on, and we're like running short and not really.
No.
But did you ever, either of you guys, watch that movie Last Christmas?
I'm sorry? No.
Which one? There was that movie.
Oh, wait, with
Henry Golding and...
yes. And no, Michael, I have not seen it. I want to.
Okay.
Why? Were you about to spoil something?
No. Oh, okay. I won't spoil it for you because, I mean, it's... it's pretty weird. But the whole movie is soundtracked by George Michael.
Ooh.
George Michael and Wham.
Now we really got to see it now.
So okay. It's like all his songs. And then, of course, the very last song is Last Christmas, sung by Emilia Clarke. So not too bad.
Can she sing?
She can.
She doesn't really get a chance to sing in
She's not bad.
Game of Thrones.
No. It's not like the girl in Love Actually that belts out, you know, All I Want for Christmas Is You. It's not that good, but
okay,
pretty good. Then,
My first one, and again, I told the guys that I'm going to kind of go a little bit weird here. One of my favorite, we talked about when we talked about musicals before. One of my favorite musicals is South Park the Musical, because it's just great songs, and that's one thing that South Park is really good at. That they're able to, whether or not you agree with their comedy, whether you like their comedy, lyrically, they're actually really, yeah, really, really good. You know what I mean? And so one of my favorite Christmas songs is by Kyle Broflowski. And the song is I'm a Jew, a lonely Jew in Christmas. And it's a really, like, have you ever listened to it?
That's I gotta listen to it again.
Because and that's the thing. It's the song is, he sees everybody playing and doing the Christmas trees and everything, and he's the only Jew in South Park, and so he talks about the pain of being a Jew on Christmas. It is great, dude. If you have not listened to it, okay, you got to listen to it.
I gotta look it up.
Okay. And you know, it's not something I'd let my daughter listen to, but definitely when my daughter's not around, that's one of the Christmas songs that I play for.
While you're decorating your Christmas tree.
I listen. I'm a Jew, a lonely Jew on Christmas.
That South Park holiday album is really
yes,
good.
Yes, it is.
Because there's also Cartman singing Oh Holy Night while being electrocuted.
Yeah.
And then there's are you doing more?
There's another one.
I don't want to go into, because I was about to say something that
I cannot wait for the Spotify playlist.
By the way, that's the reason we're doing this too, is we're going to add these songs onto our Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual Christmas playlist. So
it'll go with your 80s playlist.
I hope you will you'll have a an environment where you're allowed to listen to South Park songs. There's going to be a couple of on there. One of my first ones is the song is called Someday at Christmas, originally sung, I think, by Stevie Wonder. That's the most popular version.
Okay.
Is Stevie Wonder did it. But one of my favorite versions is by Jack Johnson. Because it's Jack Johnson.
I know that one, yeah.
And so it's just Jack Johnson playing his acoustic guitar.
Oh, the guitar, yeah.
And doing like a happy, like not a, because Sunday at Christmas is already happy, but like an up-tempo with acoustic and Jack Johnson's, you know, his sweet, sweet voice.
And sweet, sweet voice.
Like, and it's beautiful, man. Like, you can listen to that song. The lyrics, if you guys don't remember the lyrics from Someday at Christmas, is like, someday at Christmas, there, you know, the kids will play, won't be playing with bombs like kids play with toys.
Oof.
You know, like, it's still, and a lot of the soldiers that are the guys in the military I knew, they hated this song.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, dude, that's like what we do. It's like, you know, talking about like military and whatnot. But like that version of the song is so good. And if you've never heard Jack Johnson also sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, then you're missing out. There should be a Jack Johnson.
I gotta look it up.
Christmas album.
There? All right. So again, total casual when it comes to everything. So I am going to go ahead and put my stake down and say All I Want for Christmas by Mariah Carey is one of the classic Christmas songs. It's the jam. Every Christmas party, every office Christmas party plays that, of course. One of the few bangers that came out of Mariah Carey's later? Oh no, that's early Mariah Carey. I think that's peak Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely one of those classics. I mean, one of those where the first few notes play on the radio, you know what you're getting into, and one of those songs that you wish you could just keep playing forever. So yeah, that's my pick.
Since I'm going with South Park, the other favorite song that I have, and for some reason Kyle really has the greatest songs on this one aside from Cartman, But going back to the South Park, the movie, one of my favorite songs is, you know, there's always, in every single musical, there's always that part where they take the different, like, songs from different characters, and they transform and combine it together, and it's this rousing, like, I don't know, there's a term for it, but there's this rousing, like, rendition of every single song. And so, in South Park, the music, or South Park, the Christmas songs, Kyle is teaching his brother how to do the dreidel, and everybody knows the dreidel sound, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. But the thing is, every single person kind of jumps in. You have Cartman, you have Stan, you have Kyle's mom start kind of like adding to the songs to it, you know. So
it's a roundabout.
Yeah, there you go. And there's a part where Cartman goes, "Jews play stupid games. Jews, that's why they're lame." You know, and that's, I apologize for the Jewish people out there, but you know, but it, at a certain point, they're singing the whole thing. They're singing the dreidel song. They're singing Stan's part. They're singing Cartman's part. They're singing the mom's part. And then at the very end, I think it was Stan's dad.
Kyle's dad.
Oh, was it Kyle's dad? He goes, "Courtney Cox, I love you. You're so hot
on that show."
I hate you. That's one of the first songs I remember you singing in college. Why did it just trigger memories of hanging out with you as you right now? Or was it hanging out in your apartment? I don't remember. One or the other, you two singing that song. I was like, who is that from? Where's that from? I hate you too.
Oh, God bless this musical escapade right now. Go ahead, Harold.
I'm surprised you didn't go with Mr. Mackey. Carol of the Bells.
Hark with me. Oh, I seen this scene. Ding dong ding. Ding dong ding. Okay, that's it. That's all my South Park Christmas related.
I'm gonna go
Tannenbaum. Oh, Tannenbaum.
I'm gonna do two. I'm gonna do two at the same time.
Okay,
They're both from boy band.
That usually costs more money. Dude.
Yeah, you know, you can't afford them right now. And the reason I like both of them is because, you know, one of my favorite things is a cappella music.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing boy bands do like 4-part harmony is like, it's transcendent, man. And so the first one is "I'll Be Home for Christmas" by 98 Degrees, and the second one "Oh Holy Night" by NSYNC. You never hear, like, okay, with 90 Degrees, they do 4-part harmony all the time. They're a cappella experts. And that song is just a beautiful rendition of it. With "Oh Holy Night," it's rare that NSYNC does a cappella versions of songs. They have a couple, you know, obviously, like, "I Thought You Knew."
Mm-hmm, that was good.
But this version is, it's "Oh Holy Night." And then it's like, starts with Justin, goes with the JC, and then at the very end, Chris Kirkpatrick kicks it up like 10 notches and steps on his own nuts to hit those notes. And it's
a classic move.
Which is a talent Harold has.
Apparently, I told these guys I learned that I can kick myself in the balls now.
CrossFit, man.
But yeah. Those versions of the songs.
What's your wad for the day?
Kick myself balls. In the
balls. Ball kicks.
Oh, you know, now that I have it really quickly, though, is...
ball kicks?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Sam Smith's version of "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas"?
No.
Who's Sam Smith?
Sam Smith.
What is Sam Smith?
Sam Smith is the guy.
He's a Muppet.
No, he's the guy that recently he was in the news because he's like gender fluid.
Oh,
so
the guy or the girl. Pronouns.
Well, I thought that was Lando.
No, he was before Lando.
Lando's just
Carl Weathers.
Yes.
Lewis.
Delicious candies.
Yes. But
Carl Weathers.
Yes. Sam Smith does, it's no instruments for the first half of the song. So funnily enough, there's a karaoke version on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, you gotta find the key for the first part. It's just like, I don't know where he's gonna start the note. And then it's like, starts, and it's, it's so good. Like, I listened to it throughout the year, even though it's literally, the song's called "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's, yeah.
Nice.
So that'd probably be, it's, yeah, up there.
All right.
Lewis, anything else?
You know, I guess the last one, I didn't have a long list, but
My December by Linkin Park.
There you go.
Yeah, so ooh, there you go. I think Harold's got to go into his dissertation on that one. But one of those wonderful, again, it's kind of like, I guess, like, yeah, like Wham's Last Christmas. It is a bit of a depressing, you know, a depressing. Bit of a depressing. I should say, I want to say, tread lightly, because, you know, obviously we know what happens, or what happened, excuse me, to Linkin Park's lead singer. So, you know, it's one of those crazy songs in retrospect when you're in that time during the holidays. Maybe you're alone, maybe things aren't looking up, or maybe things are not exactly what you expected to be. It's one of those weirdly, oddly, at least for me personally, it was a reassuring song that, like, there's a little bit of joy in company. So knowing that you're not the only one who's bummed out during the holidays is, you know, it's a little bit reassuring. So definitely one of those melancholy songs that, you know, I guess Linkin Park's kind of known for, or that kind of thing. But, you know, definitely one, again, not to keep shouting out to these LA radio stations, but you know it's Christmas when K-Rock starts playing it. Yep. At least once a day on the morning drive or in the lunchtime.
Yeah, K-Rock does Christmas song though?
Because they do the Acoustic Christmas, so play, but that's at least, like, My December.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say
that. And Jimmy Eat World's version of Last Christmas.
Oh, that's a solid one, too. I do like that song, too. I like the Jimmy.
My next one is, and just because I kind of want to add something to our playlist, and not just it's really great. One of the you know, Harold was talking about the idea of the whole boy bands thing. For me, although yes, boy bands is still that's up there in terms of my wheelhouse for music. The other wheelhouse I have is a cappella, you know. Mm-hmm. And one of the best a cappella groups that I watched when they were on what is the name of that show? Is it the Sing-Off? Or it was Pentatonix. Yeah. And Pentatonix, I only have a couple of albums that I bought. And the two of them were Pentatonix Christmas albums.
Yeah, dude. They have a new one, by the way.
Damn it. But my favorite of all the things, every single one is great. But the one I really love is Mary, Did You Know?
Yeah.
That one... I mean, it's still Pentatonix. You still have the harmony, you still have the beats and everything. But the word I can use is haunting. There's something haunting in that song. And even though it's not the most joyful, you know, it is one of the most religious songs that they have in that thing. But it's, you know, it's still something that I think is great. It, you know, it's not fluff. It's not sweet or anything like mm-hmm. that. It's just straight out, this is Christmas. There it is.
Yeah, I love. They're damn it, so good. There's like a YouTube video I just saw recently of them reacting to their own Christmas songs, mm-hmm. and then you forget how many Christmas bangers they have.
Is that a thing? But yeah, there you go.
Their version of Hallelujah.
So,
oh yeah, ooh, that actually yeah. I've heard. I think yeah.
So is the third album good?
I haven't heard it yet. Yes, the third.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
I just said I know, have two of them. And then he said, there's a third one out. That's what third. Oh. the fourth, the fifth, the minor lift.
Was that another surprise?
Hallelujah.
There you go.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to add two real quick. I just keep adding two because I have a pretty big list, but it's winding down. The first one is... from this band in the 90s, they were a girls R&B group that no one ever talks about, but one of their, at least two of their members are still famous, kind of. The group is called Escape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the...
With an X.
Escape. 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 But...
I love that Janet Jackson song. Yeah.
They did. I thought that was Dory.
They have. They made a Christmas song in I think 95 or 96. The name of the song is called "Christmas Without You." I just recently watched it on YouTube. It's great because the members of Escape all sing different. They can all sing, so they all sing different parts of the song, and it comes out beautifully. And it's just a great message for a song where it's like, I know what I want. All I know is there's no Christmas without you. And then the second song is one that I mentioned to these guys earlier, is very personal to me, and that is the song Christmas in Our Hearts by Jose Marie Chan. which is a Filipino song. No, but it's in English, and I love the song for many reasons. I don't
think Jose Marie Chan ever did it.
No, he never did any.
I don't think he knows how to speak Tagalog.
No, because it's like half Chinese, right?
Yeah. And but, the other half is amazing.
But, like, he does. When I went to the Philippines in 1990, I stayed at my aunt's house in Manila, and that album just came out, and she played it, like, consistently. Like, the tape was running out of ribbon already. And when I came back to America, that's all I could think of in my head was, what was the name of that song, and who sang it? And literally 4 years later, I was just, we were hanging the lights in my house, and I hear the song playing, and I was like, where did that come from? And my mom goes, oh, your aunt sent me this CD from the Philippines. And I was like, who is it by? And she goes, oh, it's by Jose Marie Chan. And I was like, the whole time, the one Filipino singer I know was singing the song that I love. And if you've never heard it, there's a new live version of him singing with his kids. Because the original is him and his daughter. Mm. But then now it's him and his doppelganger sons. Who?
Creepy.
Yeah. Well, one of them is. The other two look like Jose not Marie Chan's. I don't know what's going on over there. But,
Jose Mario
I say Mondo Chan. That's a Pokemon, by the way. Mondo Chan.
Real quick aside, you know, and maybe I should save this for our joke now, where we pay, where people pay.
Our sponsor?
Our Patreon.
So, just to kind of tease you, some of the content in our Patreon is back in the 90s when, or like early 90s when I first came here, like we weren't poor or anything, but we didn't have a lot of like cool stuff. And one of the cool stuff that we didn't have is a working radio. So, but we had a tape player, and unfortunately, I only had one tape that I actually owned, and it was Jose Marie Chan. And so, every single time I'd like to listen to music, it was just Jose Marie Chan over and over and over again. And maybe that's why I missed like a whole decade of music until I finally got radio, and that's when boy bands came in. So,
sweet spot right there.
He's our national treasure.
last one for me, or second last one to me, because I kind of want to for a song that all of us will talk about. So the last song is you know, South Park, yes, Pentatonix, yes, but there's still something pure about when we just, it's really just an actual Christmas song. And the song that I kind of want to talk about was Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. It's a classic song, but for me, the best version for it is the Boobs. You know, Michael Bublé is God. I mean, with a lower G.
Lowercase
G. But he is amazing. And he is the voice that I would want. If there was a way for me to steal somebody's voice, it would be the
You'd be his Ursula.
I would be, sing!
And you have your body.
Damn it. But yeah, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas by Michael Bublé. There's something soothing about that song, and it just, like, I want to sit there with a cup of cocoa smelling my new Christmas tree. That's what I get every single time. So before we get
Christmas,
before we get to my final one, is there anything else that you want to talk about it?
Yeah, just
because I know your list is hella
long. Just the last one, just because I love it. Because we talked about animation so much. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite, besides the Beach Boys doing Little Saint Nick, is...
well, that's a good one.
Yeah. Sorry. It's Alvin and the Chipmunks. Their version of the Christmas song, and also All I Want for Christmas. But it's the Christmas song where it's, you know, me, I want a hula hoop. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. that's forever the jam for me. And then the updated version on, you know, when they made the movie... So it's them singing Jason to David Lee. Cross,
yeah.
But a rock and roll version of their version of the Christmas song, and that line every time, you know, me, I want, like, dude, it's.
Why was Harold staring me right in the eye?
But yeah, I mean, Yeah, that song.
All right.
Okay, so the last song that I kind of want to talk about is one of my favorite songs, okay? But at the same time, especially nowadays, it has become a little controversial. And the song is Baby, It's Cold Outside. Now, a lot of great versions, but just like Michael Bublé for me has a great voice, there's another person that I think has an amazing voice that I wish this person would do, like, just every single Christmas album, and that's Zooey Deschanel.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, Zooey Deschanel's voice is sexy, and not in like the sexual way. There's just something about
sultry.
About that's it. A good word for it. Yeah.
Oh, very jazzy, God,
dude. And of course, the version of it is her. I mean, it doesn't help that she was taking a shower during the time, which kind of makes it even worse, kind of weird. But her doing Baby, It's Cold Outside,
mm-hmm.
You know. I think a lot of different versions, but her version and Will Ferrell, right?
Yes.
Will Ferrell doing that song, it's just... I wish they did they ever do a recording of just them?
No, it's like the version I have is straight from the movie.
Yeah,
so it ends with her screaming, and then the movie version is her and another singer called Leon Redbone, but his voice is way deeper than Will Ferrell. So it's I like it, but it's not.
Wait, in the movie, it's not.
No. I mean in the soundtrack version.
Oh, okay.
It's, yeah.
Okay, just checking out. And his name is Redbone.
Yeah, just checking. Because I got a red bone on my...
Sultry. She didn't come. Just I thought sultry was kind of Barbara Streisand.
Couldn't figure out your way into Barbara Streisand's sultriness.
No, but, you know, one of the reasons why I loved it is... I've always found it, like, before, like, you guys know that there's a controversy about that song now, especially yep. The last couple of years, with the Me Too movement that has grown, like, they've seen the song, and people have started realizing, oh, crap,
yeah.
There's a lot of songs there that's a little... iffy, you know, mm-hmm. Like you know, what's in that drink is one of the things that everybody talks about.
Bill Cosby.
But the funny part is that my brother and I, and he's been on this podcast before. My brother and I, like 12, 15, 16 years ago, we already had this conversation talking about. Did you ever listen how weird this song is? There's actually somewhere on the interwebs is me and my brother doing a duet of the song, and it's and we were like we were talking to each other. Like, let's make it as creepy as possible, and it's great, it's classy, but it's a fun song to sing. Okay, so but the reason why I bring it up is, of course, as we kind of talked about earlier today, John Legend and Kelly Clarkson has decided to kind of update the song, okay? And so I made the two of you guys listen to it, and I kind of want to get some reactions to what did you guys think? Was it a good, you know, and I know we're not, like, we're not experts at the whole, like...
sexual harassment?
Sexual harassment. We're not experts at it.
No.
We're also not experts at, you know, the whole gender, you know, the gender issue, gender topics. We're filthy casuals in terms of this. But I kind of wanted to ask you, what did you think? Do you think it was a good addition? Is it something that, you know, that they should have not had done, which is both sides of the internet are actually coming in a war because of it? So what did you guys think?
Well, okay, so I get what the original song, what made it problematic is a lot of, you know, obviously the woman in this song, in the duet, is saying, I gotta go home, this is too far. And homie is very pushy about, no, it's cold outside. At first it starts off kind of sweet, like, oh, it's just cold, you know, you don't have to go outside. And then, yes, you do understand, or once you read into it, you know, with a critical ear and a critical, you know, a critical mind, you seem to understand the little subtle hints of, like, dude, she said no, it's
back
cool
off.
Like, relax, you know, let her go. However, I gotta say, the John Legend version, or the Legend and Clarkson version of it, almost feels like an almost 180. I feel like there should have been a middle ground of where it's like, hey, do you want, like, you know, not inviting. Okay, maybe John Legend's lyrics could have been a little bit more inviting, instead of the song itself is almost like, he's telling her, get out of my house. Hey, yo, girl, I got the Uber. It's outside. Like, it already took money from my account, so you got to go. And even she's like, it's cold outside. No, you got to go.
He's going to cancel. He's going to cancel.
The thing that I don't get some money back.
The thing that I was cracking up most about listening to the song was he made another main character in the song.
Yes.
A guy named Murray. Murray. And, like, Murray was the biggest guy. It's like, hey, Murray's outside. You know, let him touch your thigh. Yeah. But it was literally like... It seemed like the most forceful version of, hey, I called you an Uber.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hint, hint.
Which in this hookup culture is kind of a weird thing to say.
And it's just like,
it's like one of those running gags. It's like, your toothbrush is in here. Your Uber's outside.
Yeah. And then, like, the line, I literally had to write this down when we're listening to the song, is the line where she goes, I really must go, or... say go, and then he says, then say no, and I'm like, whoa. Like, okay, I get that you're not trying to press, that you're trying to be creepy too, bro.
Yeah.
But, like, you're being super obvious that you're not trying to be a creep, which makes you even creepier.
Yeah.
In my eyes, where it's like, yeah, you know, you can have this drink, but, you know, I'm letting you know, I didn't put anything inside of it. That's kind of where this is going.
Yeah.
You know, you're being really, really obvious. Like, okay, I'm such a nice dude. Have your fun here. It's cold outside, so I got you a sweater. I got you a driver named Murray. You better hurry, because his name is Murray. And let's rhyme Murray one more time with hurry, because he ran out of words.
Yeah.
Well, for me, at least I thought that when I first heard the controversy, I was like, because if you guys have been paying attention to the news, people have been taking really both sides on it. People have hailed it as a great song that about women empowerment, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, and the whole Me Too movement. And then the other side is like, oh, why, you know, you're sexualizing it too much. It's innocent. It's an innocent lyrics during a time. That's how they spoke and everything. And for me, when I first listened to it, because I love the song so much, I was going to rail against it. How dare you? Uh-huh. How dare you change it? And part of me, I was like, I'm kind of confused. I'm kind of confused what's going on in the song. To the point where the third, the fourth, fifth time, and even when we were listening to it, for me, it was like, it's not even to the point where she's like, where he's like being a gentleman. It's almost like, you know what? I think I made a mistake in voting.
I should have swiped left.
Yeah. You know, we turned on the lights.
Yeah. And, turned the lights off. Ooh, oh no! Click. Oh no!
Maybe it's cold outside. What if he's just like, you know, maybe it's not so cold outside. Maybe it's brisk outside, and you know, it's still walking weather.
Murray's an XL. You know, I got you an Uber Black. You know, it's a good car. It's not a Hyundai. You got like a Range Rover back.
You know, there. You got like an Uber pool.
It's, yeah.
Like, you have options of riding with a bunch of people, or you know, rape. Which one are you gonna go with? Murray got more passengers.
Murray's gotta pay the bills, man. He's got kids too. He's gotta buy some gifts. The other part that was kind of funny to me too is like the weird. So you know, the ladies' parts were more or less kind of kept the same with the original, where she says, you know, my dad is gonna wait for me, da da da. And John Legend's like, you live at home? He's like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah, that one stung a little bit for me.
What are you doing living at home?
Yeah, something like that. I was like,
whoa,
come on, man.
Come on. Like, what are you trying to do?
How old is this girl now? Yeah, I'm talking about. Because, you know,
if it's, that begs a lot of questions.
If it's John Legend age, then yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but if we're like, thankfully it's not an R. Kelly remix.
Or yeah, maybe if it's the Zooey Deschanel version when she's like a little kid,
yeah,
or younger. It's not that bad.
Oh, man. So
I mean, for those people listening to this and you're like offended to what we're saying, We really don't. We don't understand what's
we
going on.
We don't know either what's going on.
So,
I mean,
they, like, you know, it really did seem like, and you know, people, because of the controversy, you know, there's some interviews where John Legend's kind of talking about how this that it's not him trying to you know, go against that. It's more of a tongue in cheek type thing, which makes it kind of worse, because there's no message. Like, is there a message to it?
Yeah.
If so, it's kind of shrouded in mystery because of the way. I mean, at least I thought the music itself was pretty good.
Yes,
yeah. John Legend and Kelly Clarkson are always solid.
They sounded really good. The trumpets, the drums, everything.
Yeah, I mean, really the song's composition is classic. Yeah. So yeah, it's amazing. It's just the actual lyrics and stuff gets a little muddled and weird, depending on interpretation, I guess. So,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe that's what we should do as a project for next year. We do our version of a different version of Baby It's Cold Outside.
Dude, yes.
From the valley.
I mean, you know.
Baby, it's under 70 outside. Might want to put some pants on.
Winnie the Pooh.
See, our version's even worse. It's already worse. It's already worse.
Okay. I hope you guys enjoyed our
start episode. Donald Ducking.
Ducking. Which is worse, Winnie the Pooh or Donald Ducking? Not quite sure.
Either way, when you do it at the same time, it's a small world.
I hope you enjoyed our episode. I know we kind of jumped around different topics, but like we said, there's a lot of things that we can cover, but we kind of just wanted to touch upon certain things and definitely talk about something that was kind of current. You know, it's been a really great year. You know, I would right now, normally I would do like a year in memoriam, but we've kind of done it twice already this year.
Yeah, no.
We kind of look back. So, you know, just really want to thank everybody for your support. Just as a, well, you know, before I go to my warning, but anything you want to say before we kind of talk about the news, I guess.
No, I mean, like you said, great year. It's nice to end on a high note. Christmas is here. Very happy to be with you guys. Glad our last, you know, our last topic before the big reboot is something fun, and we're just having a great laugh. So thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you for a great 2019. Thank you for continuing to support us in our endeavor here.
And thank you to the group, our Facebook group.
Yeah,
you know. Shout out to the support over there. But as Lewis kind of talked about, it's gonna be a soft reboot, and we're gonna be gone for a couple weeks. And one of the reasons is because twofold. One is, you know, we're moving our website to a different provider. You know, I found that I thought a better deal, and at the same time more options than what we did when we first started this, you know, 2.5 years ago. Oof. We really didn't know anything about anything.
We still don't,
but back then I was just like, oh, what's the cheapest thing I could do? And so now we're hoping to bring you something even more, but that just means that we're going to be gone for a little bit, and pray, because I'm looking at how complicated it is to transfer from one provider to another, and so I'm hoping that you know, everything is going to stay, meaning our Apple accounts, our, you know, our Spotify accounts. Hopefully it still stays there. So if in a couple of weeks you hear us, it means that it worked. If not, then
it didn't work.
See you later. Later, all of a sudden we have a different name for our podcast.
two fanboys and the filthy casual.
The filthy casual. And then apparently Lewis.
We literally two fanboys and not Lewis.
And that just means that he has job security, dude.
Oh, damn. That means we're expendable.
We're the expendables.
No, dude.
I'll be Frank Stallone. I mean, Sylvester Stallone.
I'll be Antonio Banderas. Because he's the best expendable. That's anything else?
Well, you're saying there's two. We're going to.
Oh yeah, sorry. Right.
So we're the first one, websites. Yes.
And then Lewis and Harold, unbeknownst to me, actually, whether they talked about it or individually did it, kind of surprised me. We were talking about it in the chat, and they started talking about upgrading. And you know, Lewis was talking about, oh, I bought something. And when I heard the word "bought" and Lewis, I was like, I'm waiting for the punchline.
Is this the right chat?
Yeah. Is it just an empty box?
testing. <Sure. laughs> So we, you know, the last couple of years, or the last 2 years, we've been working with, you know, USB mics, which, according to the podcasting world, unless you're doing a solo podcasting, it's really not the most ideal, you know. And so over the last few years, we've had growing pains from you could barely hear us to screeching noises. For the last couple of months, I thought we've been pretty solid, mm-hmm. except for, you know, when we went location, mm-hmm. and everything. So that was something new to us. But we are going to be getting new equipment.
Yeah, upgrading.
And
building our studio.
Yeah, we're building our studio. So we're looking forward to it. Hopefully this means that it's going to be better, better sounding, and we're going to be able to...
Quality-wise, probably it's a little bit lower.
I mean, you know...
Content's going to be the same.
We are, no. We're talking about the quality of the content is going to be lower.
Yeah, you know? Garbage.
I mean, we're going to sound great.
I mean, yeah, sounding great, but then, dude, we're running out of the topics. You know?
Same Mace Windu jokes.
What are you talking about? It's great gold, jokes. Jerry. It's gold.
And I'm really going to try to make sure that I get more Barbra Streisand.
Surprise Streisand.
There's a more Byron Allen joke somewhere.
Why? Because. okay, so again, you know, thank you for everything. I hope you've been enjoying our information. We are going to be gone for a couple of weeks, but while we are gone, I don't know, you can still check it, I guess. Hopefully it's going to work. You know, the website is not going to change. It's still going to be 2fanboys1casual.com, as long as the migration works, which Lewis and I are experts at.
Apparently. Yeah, if you're able to migrate over an ocean.
You know, two websites.
Can you parachute a website?
You know,
can you paddle?
It is still our same website, so all our content is still going to be there. You know, our articles and everything is still going to be there. And, of course, we still have...
On Facebook, we will still be there during the migration part and our upgrades. You know, we'll still be active on our social media. So any fun news, any of the last few podcasts, whenever they go live, they'll still be there. And any fun memes and, of course, the groups like Harold and Dennis mentioned. Thank you for staying active on that. We'll be active there too. You know, anytime you have anything you guys want to share, your YouTube pages, your podcasts, your social media pages, if you guys have any businesses out there that you want to cross promote and network, help us out. That'd be great.
Yeah, and then both on Instagram and Twitter, 2fanboys1casual.
That's it for us this year. Hope you had a good year with us. Hopefully we hear from you again. If not, at least for the last time, this is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
Merry Christmas.
Sorry. And that's Murray outside. Go get your ass out the car.
Happy New Year, guys.
You have a great personality.
Why do you live at home?
Because you have a great personality. And that's it.